Good morning, folks. Rick here. How are we doing today?
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, Patrick, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, hang out there for 1 second. Let me just do my intro and do the muting and all that stuff. As you can hear, we can hear everybody right now. So I'll fix that in a second. So everybody's doing well? Good.
Yeah.
Good. Love it. Okay, so what is this today? Today is the 20th of May. Okay, I hope everybody's cranking. We are definitely halfway through now the second quarter. Hope everybody's rocking and doing their job. Okay, so let me do this real quick here. Okay, Patrick, if you could hit *6 on your phone, that would be great. Then I'll be able to hear you.
I got it.
All right, you sound really good, too. Whatever you're doing, stay right there. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, we are very lucky today from our Goodyear office, okay, with his, with being helped by his wonderful manager, Susan, okay, Susan Kramer. We have Patrick Clark.
Woo!
All right, Patrick's brand new to the business, okay. Well, Patrick, why don't we do this? Start off by telling them what you used to do, and then let's get into your transition into real estate. Why don't we start there?
Okay, so I'm a degreed violinist. I have a degree in violin performance from NAU. Go Lumberjacks. I had a very high-profile touring career as the fiddle player for Darius Rucker and a bunch of other people, but Darius is kind of the bell ringer of all of them. And then I went into education. I've always taught, whether it was in the classroom or privately, my entire career. I have a passion for that. And after I decided not to tour anymore, I went full-time into education. And then my wife and I discovered we were having our fourth kid, and I went, I don't think teaching is going to pay for this. So we went into real estate, and the reason I chose real estate is because I wanted to have an impact and still make enough money for my family. But, that's basically it.
You know, and it's funny, too, because we discovered that, just so everybody knows, Darius Rucker is the lead singer for a band from the 80s, early 90s called Hootie and the Blowfish, which are, I believe they're on tour now again, aren't they? They got back together.
They're going to do a two-year run here, yeah.
Yeah, and we figured out one of the times you and I were talking that when I saw Darius Rucker at Red Rock in Vegas, what was it? I don't remember, 14 or something, 2014 or 15, you were actually playing with him then. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
You sounded really good that night, dude. Okay. So, and I, by the way, I love your post with your kids and your business and mixing that all together. And I love when you play some live violin, too. That's awesome because I love to play, too. So I know, you know, the people, what people don't realize about the violin, it's basically a fretless little instrument that's totally done by air. So every time I see somebody play it as well as you, I'm always going, because with a guitar, I have frets. You know, I can follow my frets. I know where I am. But without frets, like a fretless bass, that's got to be difficult to play. So awesome stuff, my man.
Thank you.
Okay. So, all right. And so you get into real estate. You jump in with Susan Kramer at the Goodyear office. I know she's been completely helpful to you. So, and you took Success Series right away, too. Tell us a little about your first couple months and how it went for you and what you were doing. I think that'd be really, really good for especially the newer people to hear.
Well, when I got into the office, I was scared out of my mind because I've always done music. So, I had a lot of nerves going into it. And Susan looked at me and I said, "Where do I start?" And she said, "Patrick, just go talk to somebody." It's like, okay. Well, so I started looking up at that particular time. I hadn't quite gotten access to the MLS. It just hadn't happened yet. And so I went out and found it for sale by owner. And 3 weeks after I got licensed, I had my first listing. We were off to the races from there, and I basically used that listing, and we went under contract really quick. So Susan helped me make sure I was good with pricing. And I leveraged that listing in every possible way I could, you know, sharing it on Facebook, you know, knocking that community when it listed, knocking the community again when it went under contract, and then again when it sold. I'm big on door knocking. I love talking to people, and you know, it seems to work really well for me. So that's kind of what I focus on.
Okay, so let's detail this because, you know, Susan and I are definitely on the same page as far as what we talk about and so forth. So you take a listing, you go out, I think you did the FSBO preview process, and then you eventually take the listing. Tell them about, like, how many doors you knocked and how many times you had an open house and then it went under contract. So just give them a little bit more details about that because I think that's really valuable.
So that particular one, we didn't get to have an open house. It went under contract in 3 days. So I didn't have time to have one. I put it on the market like on a Tuesday, and by Friday we were under contract. So we elected not to do one. But I'm on average, when I'm full on with my door knocking and I'm not getting distracted by other things. I try to hit 50 doors a day. You know, if I can, I'll do more. Sometimes I'll do 100 doors in a day, but that doesn't mean that I've had 100 conversations because, you know, we don't know who's home and who's not. But,
right.
But yeah, and that's kind of how I have done it. I don't know if that answers the question clearly or not.
No, that does. That does too. Then it went under contract and you went out and basically knocked the same doors.
Oh yeah, yeah. I said, well, guys,
yeah.
we did it again. Here's the, you know, we were over asking price too, which is always really good. The community people love that. And well, what'd you sell it for? Well, you have to wait and find out, you know. So then, well, make sure you come by when you're done, and because they always want to know what their house is worth.
Right.
And so at the end, every time I sell a house, as long as I can get to it, or it's a community that I think I would like to be in anyway, I give them a market update just like I give to my farms, and I just replace what I have for my farms with the market update for their community.
And then
I advertise that house. And so it's all kind of – it's all boilerplate in a way. I just take, you know, 20 minutes to get all the statistics drawn up and put in there. I print a bunch off, and then I hit the doors.
So you answer the question that people ask me all the time, which is, well, do you wait for it to close before you go door knocking? And the answer is no. You just tell them it was listed for and it went under contract in 3 days, and then it's the perfect setup for the next conversation. So you mentioned that it was a kind of a catalyst, like you you expended all energy you possibly could by when it went under contract, door knocking, and so forth, and it led to a couple other transactions for you too, didn't it?
Yeah, so that one led to some good relationships, no transactions yet, but I did a different just sold knocking that ended up getting me a recruit and a listing and now a client for life. We've become very, very good friends.
All right, cool. So you go outdoor knocking, and you focus primarily on for sale by owners, it sounds like, but I think you do some expireds too, don't you?
I've shifted very heavily to expireds, and expireds, most of them are very, very angry. Some of them aren't, but the fact that I'm coming to the door and I'm talking, and these are fresh expireds, so they're getting a ton of phone calls. They're getting beat up by a lot of realtors. There's a lot of realtors out there that are saying, well, why did you list with them? They only do this many deals a year. And they're really doing a lot of character bashing. And
right.
I don't do that. I can't stand that. Making somebody else look, you know, bad to make yourself look good. You know, but
right.
They do it, and they're worn out with it. And I just tell them, I'm very transparent with them, and I say, look, guys, I know you're getting a lot of calls, but I'm here to learn your story. I'm here to learn what happened, and I'm here to find out if there's a way that I can help you or not. And I would just like to learn and hear about what happened. So let me ask you, and then I used the script that you gave us, and I used that those questions, and then I focused on the why. Why did they, you know, why did their house not sell? Why did it fall out of contract? And then I kind of go from there.
So you come from service rather than, and you know what, that's such a great point because, you know, it doesn't make you look good when you go over. So you go to the door and you knock, a lot like Eric. It sounds like Eric in your office too. And you basically come from service and, you know, see if you can help their need. Now, when you say why, that's also their motivation, which is important. Why they decided to sell, where they were going initially, and all that good stuff, right?
That's right. Yeah, so there's a guy named Joe Capriotti. Some of the people on the call know him. But he told me something one day that was really pivotal, and he said, when the why is powerful, the how is easy. And so, and then he said, lead with truth and logic. And so basically, my questions, the ones that are not on script, my questions are always geared towards trying to get to what, for them. Like, the questions are totally client-motivated, not money-motivated for me. So our conversation becomes, you know, like you said in Success Series, people love to talk about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So my questions allow them to do that. And then I sit back and I shut up and I listen.
Right.
And
yep.
And it works.
Good. Now, just so everybody, some people probably have an idea, but if you, of the four personality styles that we talk about in Success Series, which style do you fall into?
Super high, like crazy high.
Okay.
Disc.
All right.
I'm sorry for the part. Yeah. So I'm thinking disc profile. I don't even know. Because I've just been so immersed in disc recently, but I'm a super high.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's what they fall. They all fall into the same thing. I would be. I believe I is like a. Is amiable, expressive. I think it has a little of both in it, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so there you go. So that I just so everybody hears, because I think that depending on the personality style you are, you look at those four or those open-ended questions on the script slightly different. But when you're presenting to a client and you're asking them all these questions, they really display what personality style they are based on the way they answer the question, and then you know exactly which way to take them, which is important. Okay, so you're working. So it sounds like you're working. You're doing physical previews. You're doing expired drop buys now, and you're also doing just listed, just sold. It sounded like once you sell the property.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add into the mix of what lead sources you get your leads from or your deals from?
Yeah. So I've been working my Facebook a lot recently. I've got close to 700 friends, and so I wanted to sphere of influence was hard for me because a lot of people see me as a musician and teacher, and you know a lot of conversations were like, well, you know, we'd like to see how you do. So it's like they don't want to be the guinea pig, and so now that I've kind of, you know, now that I've done some deals, people are starting to call me, and so I've used that as kind of my indicator that hey, maybe going after sphere a little bit more aggressively. At least intentfully is good. So I've been using a little thing like I clean out my Facebook, and so I send them a message, hey, I'm cleaning out my Facebook. I decided to keep you. Is there a time we can catch up this week? Let me know. I hope everything's going really well with yada, 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 something that I've seen on their Facebook profile. And that's created visibility through the logarithms that Facebook uses. Now I'm interacting with them, so their stuff's going to show up on my feed, and my stuff's going to show up on their feed. So now I'm more to mind just because we've started interacting more, through Messenger. I'm getting referrals, and I'm getting sphere of influence. Some of my private students' parents are starting to ask me because I'm still teaching privately a little bit. They're asking me to sell investment properties or personal homes, and my mom's a realtor in Flagstaff, and she's been a broker up there for 25 years, I guess. And She's referred a couple clients to me, and then, you know, people I know have decided to take the plunge. So
such a good point too, because well, before I do that, tell them a little about your Facebook, like what do you post on Facebook, and because I see you're very consistent, and I always comment on your stuff, but you know, give me a little idea of what you put out there.
So I try to be very careful about how businessy I get, and how cookie cutter I get. I try to be very authentic and very real, because that's who I am anyway. And of course, you know, there's the persona. Like, I've had a lot of friends just wondering, is he gonna sell me now? Is everything gonna be about real estate? And I, that part for me is I think is probably my biggest fear, my biggest holdback or Achilles heel or whatever. So I try to make sure that my Facebook is to share things that I would normally share in real life. So I share my kids, I share my my wife, and I share other things that are going on. You know, I share friends' accomplishments and build them up just like I would anyway. But then I do want people to see that I'm doing something different. So I post, hey, I had a success here, and I'm really excited, and I try to say thanks to Susan and you and everybody else that's helped me get there. And then but a lot of that stuff is always shared from my Facebook.
Yeah, it's
so
good.
If I'm sharing from my my professional page. And so if I do a lot of educational videos, I try to keep them short, but I'll do a run of educational videos, and I'll share them from my realtor page to my personal page.
Cool. And what you know, every now and then, okay, if you can get one of your happy clients to do a quick video for you, I think that would be a great add to what you're currently doing too.
I love that idea.
Yeah, you know, you just point the camera at them, especially when they're happy. You know when they're happy, when it goes, you know. And the other thing I will add to what you just said is, like, when you have a successful open house or when you put one under contract, the first thing you do is you post it, but you also post why and who helped you, and you give out a lot of, you know, you share it, which is really good. I think that looks really good from a social media standpoint. Good.
Well, we can't do this by ourselves. You know, the team that Berkshire has is so awesome, and I'm truly grateful for everything you guys have done for me, for sure. So it's only right, you know.
Oh, well, thank you, man. And I would just say this, that you know, when you come in and you use the tools and the you know, your manager, you know, the coaching, when you use all of that stuff, you know, and you show up and do it all the time too. Look, you have some urgency here, because I remember the first time I met you, you said, I'm gonna teach for one more year and do this part time, and then you put two deals or three deals together instantly, and you go, you know what, I'm going in a year early, which probably would have scared the heck out of most people. And I think it did scare you for a little while too, didn't it?
Well, yeah, and then my wife went on bed rest too at the same, almost at the same time, because she was pregnant, and that was rough.
<That's really> rough. but you pulled through, and you've been doing deals. And so give me a little idea where you at so far year to date. This is kind of your first full year, right? I mean, last year was almost a full year.
Yeah, so we're closing in on the end of month 11 here on May 26th. My anniversary is June 26th. I will have completed, if all things, I've got two in escrow right now. If those two close in the next month and a half, I'll have 10 deals in 12 months, and I may get one more. We'll see if they pull the trigger in the next week or two, and that would put us at the end of June. So, you know, for sure 10, maybe 11 in 12 months. I redid my pipeline and just made sure that everything was right for this call, and I've got $7 million in the pipeline right now. I think five of that is very, very likely to close this year. We'll see.
Yeah. With all the you know, having a child, leaving your job, doing all the things that you've done, still, and because I know you've invited me to one. I mean, I know that you're still playing out some and also teaching some. So you got a lot going on.
to.
All right, so
I got a,
so
I got
now.
A great reason for me.
Yeah, you have all kind of, yeah, you have a great motivation. Your why's huge. Good for you. Okay, so now you've been doing this almost a year. What I want you to tell them is, number one, what you learned, and if I was starting or if I was reigniting my business, tell them the two or three most important things that you would be focused on. So I think what you learned, and then the two or three most, let's go with three most important things that you would focus on.
I learned that I can do whatever I set my mind to as long as I keep focused on my daily revenue commitment and the activities that are most worth my time. And vetting that sometimes comes from wasting time doing things that you thought might work and then didn't. If you've been in the business for a while and you're reigniting, you just got to be consistent about your lead generation opportunities and don't get distracted by all the shiny objects. You know, there's a lot of people that make money off of people in this business. And, you know, it's really easy to spend a lot of money and get nothing out of it because you're not spending enough time really getting after and getting good at one or two lead generation platforms. You know, if you're new to the business, you've got to try everything. And I remember a call that I said I was getting frustrated, and he said, "Patrick, you're too new to get frustrated. Keep going."
I remember that.
And it's true because like you've got to spend some time really failing, fail forward, right?
Right.
Failure is an option, and it's totally necessary. And don't beat yourself up when you fail. Learn from it, adapt to it. Take it in and see what you can do better. And when you're out door knocking, if you're going to do door knocking, take your scripts with you. If you've got, you know, your little flyer that you're going to hand out, take your scripts with you. And then, you know, after you fail on one of your knockings, like they get really aggressive with you and they're full of objections, go back into your script before you go to the next house and read through a few things, you know, write it down or highlight some things that you should have said, and then go to the next door and do it again. And just be consistent.
Right.
And it will come. And I do a lot of open houses too. And I ask a lot of questions. Just ask the questions.
Cool. Awesome stuff. Okay, so give them three pieces of advice. Now that you've been, and what great stuff. You know, you believe you can do it. Okay, you understand the importance of the daily revenue commitment. And you've done, like you said, a little of everything. So it's great. So, okay, three most important things that you would focus on.
The three most important things I would focus on is, for me, with my personality type, serving the client to your best of abilities, or the best of your abilities, because when we do that, we're client-centric, not money-centric. Focus on keeping yourself, like I said, consistent and doing it every day. Whatever your capacity is, if you're working part-time, then maybe you can't do as much, but schedule it out and make sure that you're doing something and don't allow yourself to get distracted. Make sure that you do your lead generation first and then put everything else in around that. Keep yourself calm. Try not to be reactionary. It's hard, especially when you get aggressive people, but make sure that you're calm, that you don't panic, and that you're positive, because when you're positive about yourself, you'll be positive about other people, and that's contagious, and that leads to deals.
Nice. Awesome stuff. Okay, cool. Anything else you'd like to mention?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much it for me.
Okay, cool. All right, so we got, I mean, awesome stuff. I believe that, you know, just by watching you for the last year, you know, I think maybe some of the music training has, because, you know, this business can be a little repetitive. You're out door knocking, you're knocking on 50 doors, you're using the same script. But when you, like you said, when you delve into what people are looking to do, like you dig into their story and you find out why they're moving, what's important, I think it really, this business can be very interesting if you are really into it to find out how you can help people get from where they are to where they're going. Would you agree?
That's 100% my motivation outside of taking care of my family. Yep.
Absolutely. And that's important. So you have money goals and so forth. So what's your goal for your next 12 months in real estate?
24 deals. I would like to hit 10 million in production for my next year.
Okay, so two deals a month. So basically going from one a month to do two a month. Now, do you think the same schedule will get there because of the momentum factor that you've created, or are you going to make any changes?
Oh, I'm making changes. I'm not going to let myself get distracted with a lot of client stuff because I would answer. I've been answering the phone every time a client calls, and letting my lead generation kind of slip through the cracks at times. And I'm setting that as, you know, that's my listing appointment. Would I answer the phone in the middle of a listing appointment? No. So I don't answer the phone in the middle of lead generation until it's done. And so that's my big change. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that I will keep consistent. I mean, it's an ever-changing business, I think, but it's,
yeah.
You know, change is necessary always, but, you know, focusing on being consistent, you know, lead generation, daily revenue commitment first, and then everything else comes in there prioritizing after that.
Good. You've been listening to Mark Stark videos. The DRC is so important. And you know what? Like Tim Dunn on my call right before just said, one of our great agents from Vegas, he said, ABP, always be prospecting. And I thought that's a great way to look at it. And you know what, Patrick, honestly, for your first year, that is the number one distraction from going from prospecting to putting deals together, because the transactions, the contracts, you want to make sure you're doing a great job when you're writing listings. But now that you have that down, you understand. And I love it. Because with me, my assistant would say, he's on an appointment. Now, my appointment could be prospecting because that's an appointment. It's just to me and prospecting. So you're right. That's the way, that's the next step you have to look at it is your customer service is not going to wane by you time blocking certain things. So that is the next step for sure.
Yep.
All right, cool.
I'm trying to get there.
All right, so we've been going 28 minutes. Is there any final thoughts you want to give these wonderful people? By the way, Patrick, great job, man. It was a great interview. Good stuff. Anything else you want to add before we call it a day?
I don't know. I think just if I was going to tell anybody these calls that I listened to Rick really regularly because they went to the time change. I couldn't because we had our office meetings. But now that we're back, I'm going to start listening again. But these calls kept me juiced. You know, Brian Chisholm, Jay Jasper, he had those guys on, and those little nuggets that I pulled from the calls were another integral part of keeping me motivated, giving me ideas to keep going. So just keep listening and keep trying, and we're all doing the same thing. And if you have some great ideas that I could learn from, please send them on because I would love to learn from you too.
All right, I'll keep that going. By the way, I talked to Gino last week, and he's going to do one of the Mondays in June. He's going to confirm with me, Gino Bilfari, CEO of Berkshire. Yeah, so he's going to be sometime in June just to give
awesome.
You guys a little precursor coming up. Well, Patrick Clark, Goodyear office. If you have any referrals to the Goodyear area of Arizona, he's your man. All right, thank you very much, my friend. We'll talk soon. You're the best. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll do this again in exactly 1 week. Go get him. Have a good week, folks. Thanks, Patrick.
Bye.